Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 Well, duff with.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, town meeting on your own time. A new application allows citizens to contribute to meaningful civic decisions from anywhere. Are we ready for a digital revolution in community politics? And baby geniuses, a cognitive psychologist on whether brilliance can be detected in infants and why they're being tested so young. And the revival of experimental spoken word poetry. Sampling and new audio technology move the medium beyond slam poets and bongos. But first, a blood test for a state of mind. A pair of new studies indicates that depression could be detectable by a blood test. So far, depression has primarily been diagnosed through non-medical means and descriptions of common symptoms. Here with more on the recently discovered connection between brain and blood is Jennifer Welsh, staff writer for Live Science, who wrote about the research. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us on Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk first about this study from Northwestern University. Their researchers focused on teenagers with what is called early onset depression. So how does that differ from other kinds of depression?
Yeah, so the study by Dr. Eva Reedy and her colleagues focused on early onset depression, as you said, which hits before the age of 25. When I was talking to her, Reedy told me that about 15% of young women and 7% of young men between the ages of 13 and 18 were estimated to have this disease. And the researchers think that it's different enough from adult onset depression to be given its own name. And when I talked to her, Dr. Reedy told me that early onset depression actually might have a somewhat greater genetic contribution and is actually usually more difficult to treat.
So they did find something in the blood of depressed subjects. What exactly?
Yeah, so the experiments started with studies of depressed rats, actually. And from those rats, the researchers were able to identify some markers in the blood that seemed to correspond with the depression. So the markers they used to identify these things are actually changes in numbers of this DNA intermediate created when our genes are translated into proteins called RNA transcripts. So the researchers saw that 11 of these transcripts that they found in the rat experiments were different in the same ways in both the rats and the teens with early onset depression. So the researchers were able to detect which teens were depressed by evaluating the levels of these markers in their blood.
Okay, I'm going to leave my fascination with how one makes rats depressed for the next question, which is, so what is the upside? What could this mean for developing a test for these markers, especially for teenagers?
Yeah, so, I mean, as you said before, depression is currently done, diagnosis of depression, of course, is done by, you know, evaluating your own symptoms, telling a psychiatrist, and them interpreting what you say. So it requires somebody to be open and honest about their feelings, which teenagers have trouble doing. And especially, you know, in teenagers, there's worries about what their friends might think, if what they're feeling is normal. No teenager wants to be abnormal. And so this stigma of being depressed is kind of a tough thing. Plus, you know, depressed people in general are less inclined to take action to get help. So that means that many teens and adults with depression go untreated, whether that treatment is with drugs or talk therapy.
Talk about how these findings mesh with an earlier study from February, this one focusing on adults with depression.
Yeah, so the earlier study performed by researchers at Harvard Medical School and sponsored by a company called Ridge Diagnostics focused on similar markers, genes and proteins that had already actually been identified and correlated to depression in different studies. So they looked at levels of these markers to give patients what they would call an MDD score. A score over 50 out of 100 means, in their words, that the patient likely was depressed.
So how accurate are those indicators?
Yeah, so in the study they published in February, they analyzed the blood of about 70 depressed adults and 43 non-depressed controls. The average score for the depressed patients was 85, and the score of the non-depressed patients was 33. So that meant that they could detect depression in 90% of people who had been diagnosed by traditional methods, is what they said.
Well, so the idea is by removing the stigma, you're sort of they can sort of medicalize it, right? They can say, you know, just as if you have diabetes, you can treat diabetes. You have depression, so you can treat depression. It sort of robs some of the power of it. But how about it? How about treatment? Will they, from detecting these markers, be able to change or to intercept the markers? Is that the hope?
Well, they currently don't know what exactly these markers stand for, at least in the most recent one. They could be changes that cause the depression, or they could be changes that come from the depression. So it's hard to say, but eventually, hopefully, we'll learn enough about these markers and the other changes that are involved with depression to find new targets for treatment.
Well, thanks for explaining this important step to us. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Jennifer Welsh, staff writer for Live Science. For a link to her article on the potential for detecting depression with the blood test, go to wordofmouthradio.org. According to the Center for Disease Control, antidepressants rank among the most commonly prescribed drugs in the U.S., leading us to wonder whether pharmaceutical companies would benefit from a blood test that detects early onset depression. Dr. David Healy is a psychiatrist, psychopharmacologist, and author of the new book, Pharmageddon. He's long been arguing against Big Pharma's influence in the practice of medicine. So we asked him for his thoughts on diagnosing mental illness based on new blood tests.
Well, I think what we've got here is a very risky blood test. You see, there's a few reasons actually to say this. One is that we have, in fact, had a blood test that picks up people who are depressed for 30-odd years or more. It's one that people on the whole don't get to hear about all that much, and doctors don't use all that much. And there's a very simple reason why not, which is that the blood test, which is looking at raised cortisol levels in people who are severely depressed, points to the fact that really there's only a small proportion of the people who currently get treatment who really need treatment. It's a blood test that kind of suggests that most people who are on these pills don't really need them or aren't going to be helped by them. If a blood test comes out, which there's a group of researchers claim is a useful blood test, then the chances are it's one that suits the interest of the pharmaceutical companies rather than the interests of patients.
Dr. David Healy there, psychopharmacologist and author of the new book, Pharmageddon. To hear the entire conversation with him on Big Pharma's stake in screening for depression with blood tests, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org. Now coming up, another case of early detection, screening for genius among infants. We're going to hear about how and why people find out whether they have their own baby Einsteins. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.